can't win, Don.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
The faculty meeting ended with instructions to indoctrinate. Describe any who disagree with us as terrorists who utter hate. We'll force the malleable little minds to only embrace our views. The misnomer's calling it education when it's really child abuse. There's special ed and drugs for those who play with a toy gun. We'll call them threats and terrorists, these children having fun. Confused and frightened parents shuffled away with all the rest. They're the authorities and educators. Surely they know best. On a cold February afternoon, they took another child away. And the teacher, the principal, and the cop had all had their say. The politically correct psychiatrist evaluated the little waif. The kangaroo verdict was expulsion to keep the campus safe. It seems all the commotion came down to her talent with a pen. She had drawn a dangerous weapon and then shown it to her friend. It wasn't a gun, God forbid, or a knife, and it wasn't even a bomb. It was an arrow through a Valentine heart that said, "I love you, Mom." This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The lights and the vibers.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There the star-spangled banner waves in somewhere. In a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are, and welcome to the shooting bench. Let me make sure everything is on. It looks like it looks good on this end. It's a 12th of September, and I'll have to tell you the truth. This is, once again, this has been several times in a row now that I've been a little surprised that we didn't have some activity of some kind on September 11th, 9/11. I don't know, I'm glad, but I'm just kind of surprised. I expected to, with everything else that's going on and all the turmoil and everything there is going on over different things around the country, it just seemed like it would have been
an opportune time for someone to pull some shenanigans of some kind, but I'm glad it didn't happen. So, and, you know, Amy read a thing to me today, and I wish she was here right now. She's got a deal, and I'll just have to kind of paraphrase it the best I can. Before I do that, let me get over here and see if there's anybody even listening. Yeah, there is. One Bright Angel. Good to see you in here, by golly. And Tebow, 5x5. Thank you, Tebow. And Glock, Yakima Glock, Copper, everybody tell me. Good deal. It was a deal that said how they missed 9-12. And I thought about it, and it was a short piece. It was really good. But they missed 9-12 because on that day, we woke up, and for a short period of time, patriotism was rampant. It was everywhere. It was everybody. Flags were flying everywhere. You couldn't buy a flag out there. I got mine. I think I've told you before. I was working in Albuquerque. And this happened, and I said, you know, when the second tower went down, I said, all right, something ain't right here. This is something going on. I think we're just going to call it quits. And this was a very expensive operation that I was running. I mean, we're talking, you know, big bucks for shutting it down. And I packed it up and told everybody to go home, took the equipment back to the yard, and called the boss, told him we'd gone. And that was headed home. And he said, what is going on in New York? What could that possibly have to do with you in Belen, New Mexico, or Bernalillo, New Mexico? And I said, well, I'd be delighted to discuss it with you, but right now is not the time. And I headed to the house. It was 80 miles away. I stopped at a relatively new Walmart we had there and got another flag and a few little odds and ends of things and went to the house. On my way there, New Mexico State Police Intelligence guy called me and said, well, what are you guys going to do? I said, well, I'm going home to be with my family right now. What are you going to do? And anyway, so that was that. You know, I got my flag early. The flags disappeared. They were flying everywhere. 9-12 was a beautiful day. It's a shame that it had to happen the way it did to get that kind of patriotism to come out of people, but it was a wonderful thing to see on that day. But anyway, Dan made it in there. Good deal. And so, you know, I was surprised, but we'll see what happens there. They're full of surprises. And the next big thing we got coming up is this hurricane coming up out on the East Coast. And apparently, from every report out there, this is supposed to be a monster. It's supposed to be a killer hurricane. It's supposed to outdo Hugo and several other bad ones that they've had over the last, you know, 50 or 60 years or whatever. So it's turned a little bit south now and put Georgia in the crosshairs there, so north of South Carolina and Georgia. Florida is going to get a ton of rain. They may not get the full brunt of it, but they're going to get a good bit. So Tebow and Cajun Mimi, I don't know where she is. She never comes around anymore. I don't know what happened to her. But all you folks at Doc, everybody that's down there in that part of the country, God bless you. Hang on, and we're definitely saying some prayers for you. It's not looking good from what they're saying there. So we'll find out tomorrow night or Friday morning, I guess, how bad it's going to be. But the way they're talking, it's going to be. You know, we were talking last night about this, and this is not just a weather event for us to sit back on and watch on TV. I said there are going to be hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions, that are unable to go to work. I mean, they, you know, we saw what happened during Harvey, in Houston and down in there. And people were, you know, not only losing their homes and losing everything else, couldn't go to work. Sometimes they couldn't go to work because their work didn't exist anymore because it was gone. It's just a horrible thing for a lot of these people. It's not, the disaster itself is not bad enough, but the after effects of it, of, you know, medical, delivery, UPS and stuff like that. We're going to be, can't get medicine in there. We've got people that are subject to die that are being, evacuated from hospitals. We've got, like I said, loss of jobs and loss of homes and not to mention loss of life. This is going to be the way they're talking. I'm just telling you what they're saying. This is going to be a monumental, record-breaking hurricane here. So, I was down there for, I was in Georgia. No, was it Georgia? Where was that? Yeah, Southeast Texas. I went through a couple of them in Georgia, and never to have one. Hey, we were right in the middle of one in Texas, Southeast Texas, and it was quite a deal. It wasn't nearly what this one was, though. I mean, I thought it was pretty neat because they don't have hurricanes in New Mexico, so I thought it was kind of groovy. But it wasn't nothing like what we're fixing to see here. Let's see. Yeah, I forgot about Charlie Brown. He's down in Georgia. We got several listeners down south, and I hope everyone heeds the warnings and does whatever they feel like is best there for them and makes it through this. I've got several podcast listeners. I actually got a lot of podcast listeners out there that actually live in North and South Carolina and been communicating with them through Messenger and stuff, and hopefully they're going to be okay. All right. Well, that's enough of the hurricane stuff, and we'll see what's happening. I think they're getting plenty of rain right now, and we'll find out tomorrow night, first thing Friday morning, see what's going on out there. Whatever happened to Tebow? You've been communicating with Mimi. What happened to her? Did she get mad at us or what? I haven't seen her for quite a while. Who do we have in there? Bright Angel, good to see you in here, Copper. And Tinker and Doc and Minnie and Mountain Shooter and Nan and NM Glock, Northwest Heavy, Yakima Glock, Tebow. Kind of an anonymous or two there, so good to see you guys. All the survival tabs should be delivered. I was apparently the last one to get them out of the bunch. They just got here today just in time because I've got to take some of them with me to Colorado tomorrow when I go up there and do that class. So everything's looking good. It's going to be a pretty good-sized class. And my host up there has got everything set up exceedingly well. Good place to shoot. Nice target stands, everything. I mean, it's just they've gone all out and really made it nice. So I think it's going to be a great class, man. Well, Doc, I don't know. I figured Mississippi, if nothing else, you ought to get a hell of a lot of rain down there. Doc says he's not anywhere near the danger zone, but I know you're not anywhere close to where it's going to hit. But I would expect that you're going to get a tremendous amount of rain out of this. I don't know.
But anyway.
All right. Let's see. Where are we at here? Let's go right here. I have been all day in a brutal discussion with somebody about bad cops. And this person is a close friend and follower of Gavin Syme, who everyone knows is extremely anti-cop, who's offered $500 if anybody could show him a good cop. Of course, he reneged on it, which I certainly expected of him. But there are lots of good cops out there. I'll tell you, I know a lot of them. I know y'all know some of them. There's going to be more and more that are not. There's going to be more and more that are literally, quite literally, getting away with murder. And this one we're going to talk about right now is no exception. We talked about the one last night. We're going to talk about her a little bit more after the break. But here's one that just happened today. Very, very unfortunate. I understand. Well, let me tell you what happened. This was in Franklin County, Ohio. And I don't know what the family was in court for, but they told them to get out and wouldn't let the mother go back and get some of her belongings out of the courtroom or something. And a cop there, apparently the only one wearing a gun, and a bully shoved her up against the wall and wouldn't let her go back. And her 16-year-old son took exception to that. As he should. But I guess he grabbed the cop by the shoulder. The cop turned around, let go of his mother and turned around. The kid put his hands up in the air and backed away, realizing that he probably shouldn't have done that. And the cop drew his gun and shot him, killed him. I fully understand the rules of engagement and how they're trained. I get it. I understand that when someone, particularly a young, agile male subject, we'll call him, but it's a young, agile male person, I understand that there is that point there where there could be a struggle, the cop could actually lose his weapon and or get it taken away from him. And it could wind up in, you know, dead cop. I understand. But, you know, the same goes with the dogs that they kill and everything else. But this cop is three times as big as this kid. The kid had backed away with his hands in the air. At that point, some of these cops are just looking for a reason to kill somebody and get away with it because they know they're going to get away with it. They're in court. They've been extremely well trained in what to say and what to do and all that. And these few cops like this are absolutely, for lack of a better term, they're killing the good cops because they're now everyone is starting to look at cops like, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're just looking for a reason to kill somebody. And that's what happened with this kid. Really, really sad story. I don't understand how he got away with this so easily. And he may not. I mean, it's brand new. You know, there may be something later. You know, there may be some video produced later on or something. Bring this to, you know, bring it to light, to justice. But from the way the story reads, this kid, this cop had absolutely no right. He had a right, or at least he figured he did through his training. He was trained this way. But somewhere in there, it's got to be a little bit of common sense. It just has to be someplace where the cop says, oh, wait, the dog's not running towards me. The dog's smiling. He's not growling. The dog's laying down on the other side of the room. The kid's got his hands up, and he's backing away. You know, have they just completely thrown away any semblance of personal responsibility and common sense here? And the answer to that, I guess, is yes, in many, many cases. This was a very, very sad, very emotional day. And the thing is, his mother and his grandmother was right there watching. They saw the boy die.
So that was not a good thing. Let's see. Tebow, I'm assuming you're talking about Cajun Mimi in your post there. It says she's a Trump hater.
I don't know if you're talking about Mimi or if you're talking about the girl that I was arguing with on Facebook today, all day. But they're both Trump haters. So, and that's unfortunate about Mimi. It's a shame. And this other girl, same way. Well, yeah, I can't say that. You must be talking about Mimi because I'm not just certain that this other girl is a Trump hater. She's a cop hater by, you know, by a long ways, but I'm really disappointed that Mimi would take that stand when she has nothing whatsoever, nothing to stand on. You know, show her the facts, and they all hate him because of what he might do, what he could potentially do, not what he's done. Not that the economy is doing better than it ever has. I think, you know, I mean, everything he said he's going to do, pretty much he's done. A little slow getting around to some of them, but it's happening. You know, most of the presidents before him, they didn't a single thing that they said they were going to do ever happened.
As soon as they were elected, okay, that's it. Close that book and let's start a new one. Oh, well, one of those things. Let's look at the next deal here. See, we're going to do that one after the break. So, okay. Speaking of the hurricane, let me back up here a little bit. We talked about the hurricane. We talked about Trump. Let's talk about both of them. This is insane. I don't mean it's a little bit goofy. I mean it's freaking completely, stupidly insane. The Washington Post has literally blamed Trump and his policies for creating this hurricane. Yeah. No, I did. I said that. I'm looking at it right now. It says, the headlines on the Washington Post editorial said, another hurricane is about to batter our coast. Trump is complicit. And so now Trump is helping to create hurricanes. Here's a quote from the Washington Post. It says, yet when it comes to extreme weather, Mr. Trump is going to, they won't say President Trump. You know, they did for Obama and they did for Clinton. They did for everybody. They won't do it. They say Mr. Trump or Donald Trump. They won't say President Trump. Yet when it comes to extreme weather, Mr. Trump is complicit. He plays down human roles in increasing the risk and he continues to dismantle efforts to address those risks. It is hard to attribute any single weather event to climate change, but there is no reasonable doubt that humans are priming the Earth's systems to produce disasters. Now, you can look at that a couple of ways, I guess. You know, with HAARP and everything, there may be some of that. Doesn't mean that Trump had anything to do with it or is in charge of it or even approves of it. It also doesn't mean that it may or may not be happening. We, most of us, are believers that HAARP is working and is a happening thing. But do they get orders from the White House every day? Hey, turn that up a little bit and let's start a hurricane over there around North Carolina somewhere. Yeah, and that drought that's happening over in Arizona? Yeah, just keep that turned up high. Okay, we'll just let it go with that for now. I'll holler at you if we need something different. That ain't the way it works. The editorial board spends a couple paragraphs citing a researcher who said hurricanes feed off the warm air, which of course is also man-made, before it raises the issue that Trump is reversing Obama policies that deal with climate change
and we can only assume would have saved everybody from the hurricanes. Another quote: with depressingly ironic timing, the Trump administration announced Tuesday a plan to roll back federal rules on methane, a potent greenhouse gas that is the main component in natural gas. Drillers and transporters of the fuel were supposed to be more careful about letting it waft into the atmosphere, which is nothing more than rank resource waste that also harms the environment. The Trump administration has now attacked all three pillars of President Barack Obama's, see, they call him President, President Barack Obama's climate change plan. The president has cemented the GOP's legacy as one of reaction and reality denial. Sadly, few in his party appear to care. So there you have it. Our president is not only got the economy going the right way after they said it couldn't be done, he's creating hurricanes in his spare times. Well, it looks like NM Glock's Wi-Fi must be working where he's at. That's good. That's just what we were talking about there, NM Glock. With our little delay, I guess you said that before you heard me. All right. Well, it's about that time. Take a little break, and I'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll carry on. Stand by.
I'll be back.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
They want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man, he wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We the people have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? Cane pole and Crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was opened up and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I've done. Looks today like we got about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. I'm burning hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Okay, we're back. Let's finish this up here. Let me go check the chat room here real quick before I get carried away. Let's see here. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, you got that right. Doc has a little different sense of humor, but I love it. Yeah. All right, Bee Lady has joined us. That's where a new one came from. Glad you made it. Okay, we're going to talk about the Dallas police officer here, the lady that shot, the female police officer that shot the guy in his home, in his apartment. And, you know, when we started the show here, I said this is just starting to get out of hand. Of all the good cops that are out there, there's sure starting to be a lot of bad stuff like this happening. So one of the first things that I noticed right after this is she had been charged with manslaughter and put in jail. Okay, this is good so far. I heard someone today say that she bonded out, and I haven't found anything yet to confirm that. So, matter of fact, one deal that I was just looking at says that she may get more serious charge than manslaughter. Apparently, one source says that they think she may have been having an affair with this guy and had been beaten on the door for an hour before he finally opened the door and she shot him. Now, that kind of makes sense to me. But she says that she went down there. She was in the, or up there. I think he was up in the apartment above her. And went to knock on the door, and it was ajar and just opened up. And when she opened it, he walked forward towards the door, and she shot him. So if she was going, oh, no, she said she was going to put her key in the door, and it just opened. So that's her story. But there's been a couple of people come forward, witnesses there, including family of hers, that said that
wasn't the case. So right over here, let's see here. She arrested on manslaughter charges. She mistakenly entered the wrong apartment. I can see kind of, you know, I told you the story about the guy that tried to come in my apartment in Houston that time. I can see doing that at the top of any stairway that looks the same. But how do you get a whole floor off?
She lived on under him downstairs. It seems odd to me that she'd miss it by a whole floor. I can see missing, it'll be one apartment over. They all look the same. Everything that's in motels and stuff like that, it happens, you know, fairly regularly. But it's a good idea to keep the doors locked, like I said Monday. But, okay. And you guys may hear a little noise in the background there, but it'll stop here very shortly. Not sure if you're picking that up or not. Said as soon as she entered the apartment, she saw a large silhouette and immediately believed it was a burglar, drew her service weapon, gave verbal commands that were ignored, and then she fired twice. So, there's another deal here. Let me see if I can find... here we go. Let me wait just a second, just in case you can hear that noise. All right. Now, according to the Dallas Morning News, there were the witnesses reported hearing someone knocking on the door before the shooting. One witness says she heard a woman's voice say, "Let me in, let me in," before hearing the weapon fire. The other witness said, after hearing the shots, heard a man say, "Oh my God, why did you do that?" Okay, now, aside from this case, think about this just a minute. This is something I've talked about in my concealed carry classes. For any of you that's taken that concealed carry class, or one of my three concealed carry classes, I said, you know, how you articulate what you are about to do or what you have done. If you are confronted, you don't say something to the effect of, let's say someone's knocking on the door, beating the door down, and you're inside with a gun. You don't say, "I have a gun, I'll kill you." You might say, "I have a gun, don't come any closer, you don't have a gun, I'll shoot if I have to," or, you know, something along those lines. But, and the reason being is because somebody else may hear that, which was the case here. These two different things that two different witnesses heard could bury her, because both of what they heard, both of them heard things that are contrary to what she is saying. So if you say, "Don't come any closer or I'll kill you," you know, "Go away or I'll kill you," or something like that, and you actually do that, there are good lawyers out there that could call that first-degree murder. You'd already announced that that's what you're going to do. So, you know, I have a gun, don't come any closer, or something like that. That's okay. If they hear something, if they hear somebody beating on the door and say, unlock this door, let me in, I'll kill you. Okay, that's fine. That's what they said. That's what the bad guy said. That's okay. If the bad guy says, you know, I have a gun and I'll kill you or something, that's fine and dandy as long as they don't think it's your voice. So think about those things when you are approached or something is about to happen, and be very careful what you say, because it can be a bad deal for him. Doc says, I just ate a clove of garlic and I have extremely bad breath. Don't come any closer. Yeah. All right, let's see here. Let me look up here and see what the... Yeah, Copper, that's exactly what I think happened. Copper says, said just what I said. The witness said, talking about knocking on the door, sounds like domestic violence. Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. I think she was a little upset about something or misunderstood something that was said or seen or something like that. And she was taking it upon herself to fix it. Let's see here. Trying to back up here and see what... see what's going on with the chat room here. I didn't hear that, Tebow, that Trump had said the Twin Towers had to be taken down by demolitions. If you find a link for that and send it to me, I'd like to look into that a little more. I guess I can do a search for it as far as that goes and find it. All right, on we go. Here in Oregon, where there are quite a few mountain lions, but there are unchecked now, I think. They say there's more than 6,600 cougars live in Oregon, and they cause more than 400 complaints each year. However, the first ever fatal cougar attack just happened in Oregon. And it was happened yesterday, as a matter of fact, in the wild. Anyway, I don't know why they specify that. It says Oregon's first ever fatal cougar attack in the wild kills woman hiking in Mount Hood National Forest. I don't know if there's been another cougar attack in the tame, like in a zoo or something, but doesn't say that. But anyway, and then we've seen this happen in California before too. But cougar mauled woman hiking on Hunchback Trail in the Mountain Hood National Forest in the first ever fatal wild cougar attack in Oregon history. So, not a big, long, drawn-out part of this story to share with you other than I don't know what she was doing. Let me see if I can find out real quick. I just breezed through this pretty quickly. See, although this is Oregon's first reported cougar attack in the wild, a cat living in captivity killed a woman in 2013 as she cleaned a cage at the former Wildcat Haven Sanctuary near Sherwood, Oregon. So there you have it. It doesn't say what this lady was doing. She was out on a trail, so she was hiking or running or doing something. And either didn't have a gun or didn't have time to use it, one or the other.
Or both.
And another one here, not another cougar attack. Let me go look at the chat room here real fast. Let me pull that. There we go. Yeah, Doc, I know that's right. Let's see here. Or a 10 millimeter. There you go, Copper. That's right. I got to get me another one. That was my dang sure one of my favorite handguns. I love 10 millimeter. Sometime we'll do a whole show on 10 millimeter again. I haven't done it for
probably 3 or 4 years. But I think that we probably could stand doing it again. All right, one more deal here. No, oh, two more. So why did I just, where did I lose one at? Down, I lost one. It just fell off the face of the earth. Let me see if I can just scoot right over here real quick and see if I can find it. Is that one? Or is that one? There we go. This was the next one I wanted to do. This was in Maryland. Woman killed by a newly adopted pit bull, 64 years old, mauled to death by a newly adopted pit bull. You know, this has always been a sore spot with me. You know, the people that defend pit bulls, and there's a lot of them. You know, it's the way they were raised, you know, it's the way they've been fighters and all that stuff. You know, I almost want to believe that. But, and I know that there's, you know, kind of like cops, there's nice, good, gentle, kind, wonderful family dogs that are pit bulls out there. But there's also a hell of a lot of unprovoked attacks, and pit bull is the number one dog of all the breeds out there, probably more than all of them put together. I would almost say that. I don't have any proof of it, but this dog had, let's see, officer reported the victim home after receiving a call, getting mauled to death by a pit bull. You know,
I remember there was another time when a lady in California was getting mauled by two pit bulls, and someone, I think, called 911 as they were running toward this melee and had a gun, wound up killing one of the dogs. Okay, that's okay. If calling 911 doesn't cost you any time, by all means, give them a call. But, oh, there's a lady out on my street getting mauled by a pit bull. Please hurry. No. Go out there and kill the damn dog, even if you have to beat it to death with a shovel, and then call 911. Do what you have to do to protect human beings. Damn the animals. I'm all about, you know, what am I trying to say? Not trying not to be mean to animals or anything. I get that, but they're not people. When a dog is mauling a human being, then do whatever you have to do to get the dog off of them. If you hit the dog with a shovel and it runs away, then fine. We'll worry about that later. But the attack has to stop. And this person called and said, oh, the lady getting mauled by a pit bull. So the police said a relative found the lady in the yard with the dog standing over and called 911. The individual managed to restrain the animal by tying the animal to the fence. Okay, fine. Yeah, she was already dead by the time they got there, huh? The dog, still attached to the post, barking and lunging on the leash, had to be subdued by animal control and ultimately euthanized. So I don't know what this dog's history was, and I know for a damn fact that all pit bulls are not this way. I'm just saying that it seems that pit bulls have a more frequent history of this than all other dogs. Let's see here. What's Copper doing trying to find the grizzly story of the Glock 20? There's actually two of them, Copper, that I know of. One of them was actually in the house, in the hallway of a house where a guy had killed one with a 10 millimeter. And the other one, both of them, I think, were in Alaska. The actually one we talked about on the show here, I don't know, a few months ago, about a guy who killed a grizzly with a 9 millimeter. And I don't remember how many shots it took, but whatever it was, he still killed the grizzly. Yeah, Yakima Glock, it's a great caliber, and it's not for everybody, by all means. The 10 millimeter. But if you, it's not, I don't think it's a great idea for carrying, for everyday carry by any means. But, boy, it's hard to beat it for a woods gun. And,
so, let's see. Yeah, the tanker says more covered by the fake news media. Well, that may or may not be true. I mean, I've been hearing about pit bulls for, you know, before everybody started calling it fake news media for, you know, for, hell, 30 years. So there was,
anyway, whatever the, as far as any many newsworthy things, I've never heard of a, and I know there are, and I'm not disputing that whatsoever. I just haven't heard anything about it. Poodles attacking anybody, because when poodles attack, I don't think there's too many of them wind up being fatal. But with pit bulls, there are. yeah, I like that, Doc. That'll do it. Pit was engaged in mortal combat with a neighborhood dog a couple years ago. Couldn't break him up. Fired a 9mm between their heads. It's good shooting. Stop both of them real quick, and then they run off. Yeah. All righty. Well, let's see.
Headed to, well, I think I already told you, headed to Colorado tomorrow to do the personal defense handgun 3 class. That's the 3-day class with the night shoot. And, matter of fact, AZ Bound is the one that's hosting that class. I don't know where he must be busy tonight trying to get time freed up and everything. He's usually in here, but tonight he's out for some reason. All right.
I don't know who would say that the 10 millimeter gets close to the 44. It does not. It gets embarrassingly close to the 41 if it's hand loaded, not factory loads, but doesn't touch the 44. Doesn't get anywhere near the 44 Magnum. But it's just right nipping right at the heels of the 41, and it absolutely smokes the 357 with hand loads, not with factory loads. Actually, if you get factory. Double tap or buffalo bore, they are about the same velocity as what I load and the same bullet weight. And they're a handful. But factory loads are barely better than the 40 Smith & Wesson. I cannot justify owning a 10 millimeter period if you're not going to load for it, because it's too heavy, too bulky, too everything to justify another 100 feet a second or so. But when I load mine, I can get 200 grain bullets at 13 and a little bit. And that scares the hell out of 41 Magnums. But the 44 is still the cock of the walk there. Yakima Glock, you're right about that. It doesn't make a 44 Magnum. Glock doesn't. Okay, well, I've had all the fun I can stand. I've got to finish getting packed, get the car loaded up, and get ready to go so I can make my exodus tomorrow. Headed north. There we go. So, Liberty Lounge will be happening. It will be brought to you live and in Technicolor from Pueblo, Colorado, or somewhere there in an undisclosed location. And I see no reason whatsoever, unless the hurricane dashes all the way across the country and blows us away, we should be on the air at our regular time. So. All right, I'm out of here. I'm starting to babble again, so I will see you guys on Friday night. Thanks for joining me. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.